good to be here. I trust that we can learn together. If you use note papers, they're passing them out right now. If you use them, this morning's going to be a little bit different. So most of the answers are not going to be up on the screen. They're going to be, I'll give them, but they're not going to be up on the screen. I'm doing a little bit differently here than what I often do. Just a little bit of background here. Probably a month or two ago, a friend of mine had a little blurb, which he does most every day. And in that, he said that the work that's mentioned in Genesis chapter 2 about God and creation is the same word that's used in Exodus 35, where it talks about the work and the workmanship of the tabernacle. And so I was mulling that around in my mind and thinking on that some. And then here a few weeks ago, Paul preached out of Ephesians 2, and he talked about we are the workmanship of God, the masterpiece of God. And so I started putting this all together, and I felt like the Lord was giving me something to share on that this morning. You'll notice I used the word masterpieces, even though it's one word. I used it with a hyphen. And I did that on purpose because I want us to think about some various things related to this. So I want to share this morning. I'll try not to get too long-winded with it. What is a masterpiece? What would you say is a masterpiece? The best, okay.
A beautiful creation,
something that's done really well. So who's a master? Now, oftentimes when we think about the word master, we think of it in connection with like slavery or dominance or something like that. But what is a master in the sense of masterpiece? A creator. There's something else. So we all create, but not everything we create is a masterpiece, right? Our wives create a lot of good food, but it doesn't mean it's a masterpiece. What is a master in this in that sense? Okay, God is absolutely the master. We're going to talk about that. Okay, overall, what else? If you go into a trade, say electrician. If you talk about a master electrician, what are you talking about? Okay, very skilled, have reached a high level, right? So that's kind of, we want to kind of keep that in mind. Now, who decides what is or isn't a masterpiece? And that's just something to think about. There's not necessarily a specific answer in relation to this, but you think about, we're going to talk about Rembrandt just a little bit. He was a painter, did a lot of artwork. I don't know if he considered himself a master or not. It may not have happened until after he died that he was considered a master. But we have a number of masterpieces from him today. Here's a question that I want you to think about. Can you consider yourself as God's masterpiece? Is that something that, if you think about it, sounds feasible, sounds like something that is possible? Or when you think about that, do you think, oh, well, good luck with that one? Because I know all my faults. I know all my mess. I know the struggles that I face. And thank you, Lois, for sharing with us this morning. We all face struggles. So we're going to explore this a little bit here today, and we're going to think about some of these things. Rembrandt, in 1656, painted a picture. It took him a year to paint this picture of Jacob blessing Joseph's sons. And I had to think, this was kind of a new thought to me. I had to think, how much thought process did Rembrandt go through before he even began painting? So here's a masterpiece, considered a masterpiece in the art world. Something happened. In 1977, a man came in to where this picture, this artwork was hanging, and he threw sulfuric acid on it. Ruined it. Distorted it. And it took a number of years and a number of experts to bring that thing back. I couldn't find a picture online of what it looked like after he had ruined it. This man ruined other artwork as well. I don't know what his problem was. But I want to have us think about this and go through some of the whole thing. I have three areas here. I have the creation, I have the tabernacle, and I have us as believers. So when we think about creation, we think about God's work. In Genesis 2 there, it says, God finished His work which He had made. Was creation a masterpiece? Absolutely. God looked at it, and He had the authority and the ability to look at that creation and say, it is very good. Excellent. And nothing can come close. And I don't know if you've thought about this very much or taken the time to just sit and observe. Take a leaf. Just a leaf off a tree and just sit there and look at that. Take a bird and just look at that. You know, the feathers, take a fish and you look at those fish and they have distinct markings. Every one of them in a certain kind of fish have the same markings, the same with the birds. You know, there's blackbirds, there's red-winged blackbirds. They all have that little red on their wing. Amazing. So creation is a masterpiece in part and in the whole. So, you know, not only was creation as a whole a masterpiece, but each individual aspect of it is a masterpiece. In fact, God said that man, part of that creation, was made in His image. So God, as a master, made man in His image. So that means that we have an aspect of masterpiece within us. All humanity. And so this week in Bible school, when those little kids are there, and they're acting out and giving you grief, just remember, underneath there is a masterpiece. And this is something that's really difficult for us to see about ourselves. It's difficult for us to see in others. But here's the deal. Oh, all of a sudden, somebody poured acid on God's masterpiece. The enemy came and he splashed acid across God's masterpiece. We as mankind participated in that as well. And we continue to participate in that as mankind. We continue to splash the acid across God's creation and across humanity. And so all of a sudden, you have thorns and thistles springing up. All of a sudden, you have separation. God had created for relationship, for connection. And all of a sudden, the acid shows up and there's separation. Man is no longer close to God. God comes and he says, "Where are you? I made you for connection. Where are you?" And man says, "We hid ourselves. We're trying to get away. We don't like what's happened with this acid that's poured over us. And we know that we're not what we were before. And so we're hiding because we don't want to deal with this. We don't know how to deal with this." And so here's God looking down at his creation and seeing an enemy that's come and thrown acid, the acid of sin, across his creation. Let's go to the tabernacle. In Exodus 34, we have this word work and workmanship coming up. Especially, God says there's two guys, Bezalel and Aholiab. He says, "I have chosen them, and I have put my spirit in them, and they are able to make masterpieces." And you read about the furniture of the tabernacle. There was this big lamp that burned there continually, and it had all these lamps within it. And he beat that out of one piece of gold, made it into the lampstand with all those lamps. A masterpiece. So you have these guys working on this. Now it's really fascinating to me, and this is kind of a side note, but it's really intertwined. So in Genesis, in the creation, at the end of creation, we have God resting from his work. He's done. He's made his masterpiece. It's in place. It's complete. And so he rests. He stops working on that because it's done. It's not because he's tired. It's not because he has to come up with more ideas. It's the masterpiece is complete. Just like Rembrandt, after he painted that painting, he rested from painting that painting. It was done. And then in Exodus, when Moses is there, God has instructed Moses, and Moses is ready to give this to the people and talk about building the tabernacle, it's fascinating to me that he starts by talking about rest before he gives instructions on building the tabernacle. And then when we go into the believers, we're told that we are to live in rest. In Hebrews, we'll get into that. But it just fascinates me how that's all hooked together. Now, this is a masterpiece, but when you look at it from the outside, it doesn't look like a masterpiece at all. It's covered with goat skins. And so when you look from the outside, it just looks like a nothing, a tent. But when you go inside, you see all the beauty and the gold and the all the intricacies and so on. But the interesting thing is, God told Moses, you be very careful to make this exactly in the pattern that I showed you up on the mountain. Why is this so important? We get all wrapped up in this thing. We're like, oh, everything has to be just this cut, cut, cut and dried. That's not the point. The point is, Hebrews tells us, chapter 8, verse 2, it's the true tabernacle which God pitched and not man. So what Moses was making there was a masterpiece based on what God was explaining to him about the reality that exists on eternal side. The true tabernacle which God pitched and not man. And so he says, and Hebrews talks about this, this is why God told him, make it according to the pattern. Why? Because the pattern is the masterpiece, the real masterpiece. And so you're making a picture, a copy, for people to look at of the masterpiece. Hebrews 9, verse 11, there he talks about that there's a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Hebrews is talking about how things are so much better. He says, make it after the pattern of things in the heaven. And he says there in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24, he says, we're not entered into an earthly tabernacle, but into the things of heaven itself. So there's a masterpiece there. Hebrews 10:14, he says, by one offering, he has perfected, masterpiece, those who are being sanctified. He's perfected them forever who are being sanctified. And we'll talk about that a little bit more when we talk about us. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16, 17, 19 talks about you are the temple of God. You are the tabernacle. And so the masterpiece that God told Moses to follow the pattern of down here on earth comes over and comes to us as well. But the enemy threw acid on the tabernacle. God had made it very plain. I've just been reading through Judges and in that area of the Bible lately. God spoke over and over and over to the children of Israel. You worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. Do not worship the gods of the land. Do not bow down to them. Do not offer your sons and daughters to them. Have nothing to do with the gods of the land. What happened? They worshiped the gods of the land. And so the tabernacle is distorted. It's no longer the beauty, and then all of a sudden, here comes the time of Samuel and Eli. And the battle rages. The ark is carried out to the battle. The ark had no business out there in the battle. The ark belonged in the tabernacle. It was not supposed to be seen by human eyes other than the priest once a year. It's carried out there into battle. The Philistines take the ark. The report comes back. And Eli finds out his sons have died and the ark has been taken, and he falls backwards, his neck is broken, and he died. Eli's daughter-in-law, his two sons that were there with the ark in the battle, were killed as well. His daughter-in-law was pregnant, and she died in childbirth, but as her little son was born, she named him Ichabod, which means the glory is departed. Acid. The acid of sin. The acid of separation had been poured on the tabernacle. And no longer. Yeah, physically, the beauty was still there. But what was the purpose of that beauty? Presence. The presence of God. Connection. God meeting with man. God dwelling with man. God giving man direction. Just like he had from Egypt, the fire and the cloud showing them when to move. Now let's go to believers. So we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We're His workmanship. We're in His image. We're His masterpiece. Now, I want you to understand something. Creation, as God created it, continues to exist today. It will be restored at some time. Worship, as God intended it, will be restored. And it has been partially already, but it will be completely at some point. The masterpiece that God made us to be is being restored. And I want us to understand this, that in the heavenlies, these things are not distorted. The sin did not affect that up there. It affects here on earth. So the acid that's thrown on the creation, the acid that's thrown on the tabernacle, the acid that's thrown, and we'll get to in our lives, does not affect what is actually going on in the heavenlies, right? The true tabernacle is still there. The true creation, the tree of life, is still there. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We are there. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ. We are a masterpiece. That's important for it. And this in our minds, we have difficulty. You know, we know time, we don't understand eternity at all. You start talking about no beginning, no end. We don't have a clue. We know yesterday and today and tomorrow, but other than that, we don't know anything. Well, in God, in His presence, there is no yesterday, today, and tomorrow. There is no time. It's all present. There's no past, there's no future. It's all present. And so in God's mind, in God's heart, where God is, all these masterpieces continue to exist. Now, it's interesting, fascinating to me, this whole thing of rest enters in here again. Hebrews 4:10, we're invited to enter into rest And he says there, those that have entered into his rest have ceased from their own works as God did from his. Now that's not an isolated thought. Isaiah chapter 58 talks about the Sabbath, and he talks about fasting, and he talks about how God really wants things. God's picture of how fasting and Sabbath and all of that stuff is supposed to really happen. And he says there in Isaiah 58, he says, here's the real Sabbath, where you stop doing your own work, you stop doing your own pleasure, and you turn toward God. That's what Hebrews is saying. Those that have entered into rest, those of us as believers that have entered into rest, we've stopped doing our own work, and we're doing His work. So, just a question to ask yourself, have you entered into rest? Or are you still just doing your own stuff? Pretty important question. I was on a Zoom call Monday. A brother from Syria teaches in a school there, teaches a lot of Muslim students in the refugee camp. Wonderful testimony. He said this. He said, I believe, and he said, I want to grow in holiness. I want to grow closer to the Lord. He said, I believe that God wants me to come to Him with everything in my life. He said, I believe God wants me, when I go to buy chocolate, God wants me to ask Him if I should buy chocolate. We laugh at that. We think that's kind of weird. Because you know what we do? We do whatever we want. And then we go back to God and say, why isn't this working, God? Well, Hebrews explains it. We have to enter into... There's a rest for the people of God. We've got to enter into it. And we enter into it by stopping our own works and entering into His. All right. So the masterpiece, the believer that's in Christ, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, has acid thrown on him. The acid of sin. We don't look like a masterpiece. It's not apparent right off that we're a masterpiece. We're self-seeking, self-serving. The thing about God is the Godhead, they are totally others-oriented. They're not inward focused, they're outward focused. So the Father glorifies the Son. The Son glorifies the Father. The Son glorifies Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit glorifies Father and Son. They're totally others focused. We get inward focused. Self-seeking, self-serving. And that's part of the rest as well. That's part of this whole defacing that's happened with sin. Now, one of the things we talked about, we saw that verse earlier. We are being sanctified. Sanctification is the process where God takes all that damage that's been thrown, the acid that's been thrown on His masterpiece, on us as believers, and on humanity in a large part. He takes that And he comes in and he begins to cleanse that and restore that, so that we begin looking more and more and more and more like the masterpiece that he made us, that we really are in him. Now you say, this is just a little bit difficult. So I want us to get that picture so clearly. Sanctification is the process of God removing the stains of our sin from our present life. So sanctification is a beautiful word because it's restoring. And so the more that we are sanctified, the more the glory of God reflects in our lives. I want that. Every believer wants that. But it's a process, and it's oftentimes a difficult process. We often have to go through very, very hard, very difficult experiences to have that process reversed, to have that damage, the acid damage paint, brought back to its original condition. You don't think that's real? You don't think that's possible? Here's what Jude says at the end of the chapter, verse 25. He says, "He, Jesus, is able to present you faultless." That's totally restored. That's that masterpiece. He is able. When we come into the presence of God, He is able to say, "Father, here is your masterpiece." He's able to present you faultless with exceeding joy before the majesty on high. I don't know what that does to you, but that changes a whole lot of things. Changes a lot of perspective. Changes a lot of focus. Changes a lot of how I see myself, how I see others. You know what? Every one of us as believers is a masterpiece. We're a masterpiece in Christ. And He is able to keep us from falling, is the first part of that verse. He's able to keep us from not being a part of all of that. We can't keep ourselves. He can keep us. We can't remake ourselves. He can change us into the image of Jesus Christ. So as we dwell in Christ, we're restored, we're sanctified into that whole masterpiece. It's interesting, there in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, we're His workmanship. That workmanship there has the idea of a tapestry or a poem. He said, we're that masterpiece. He created that. He spent a lot of time thinking about what that was going to look like. And then He spoke it into existence. And it looked just exactly like what He wanted it to look like. Just exactly. And He said, it's very good. He says, we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God hath before ordained that you should walk in them. He's not talking about us being good enough to be a masterpiece. No. He's talking about that sanctification that happens. And as that sanctification happens in our lives, we reflect the Father. Here's the way to check your works thing. Is what I'm doing making me look good, or is it making God look good? If it's about making me look good, it's not good works. In fact, Paul says that stuff's going to get burned up in the judgment. Only those works that are in rest, where we're doing His works and not our works, like Hebrews says, like Isaiah talks about, only those works are the ones that are going to bring glory to God. And those are the only works that we really need to portray. So I'd like to leave us with this challenge this morning. As you go from here, remind yourself, remind the enemy, I am God's masterpiece. And all the acid that you've thrown on me to deface me and to mess me up, make me look like a piece of junk, is going to get washed off and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I am going to appear before the Father as a masterpiece, without spot or blemish, faultless, perfect in His presence. And as you think of that, think about everybody else too, because we're all in the same boat. We're all His masterpieces that the acid of sin has been thrown on, and we're all damaged. We're all broken in some way or other. And the only way for that to be healed is for us to allow Him to sanctify us, and for us to participate with one another in loving and caring and joining in with Him. Let's stand together. We thank You, Father, for this day, for this opportunity. We thank You, Lord, we've only touched a surface, God, when it comes to this whole thing of masterpieces. God, you're amazing. You're a master. You're the master. There is none higher than You. There is none that can even come close to Your level of expertise in any area. And so, Lord, we want to bow before You. We want to acknowledge You as the one who created us, the one who redeemed us, the one whom we worship in spirit and in truth. And we ask You, Lord, to continue to sanctify us, to make us more and more into what You made us to be, so that Your glory can be shown to our world. Go with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.